welcome to VBAC Birth Stories, a podcast where Australians share their journey to a vaginal birth after cesarean.
We are a safe haven for women to share their own VBAC journeys and through these personal experiences, educate and empower listeners.
I'm your host, Mel.
And I'm your host, Steph. And this is VBAC Birth Stories. This week, Mel and I, we're chatting to Ashley. She's a mother of three. She's experienced three very different births, all in the public hospital system under caseload midwifery care. Her primary caesarean was at 36 weeks due to placental abruption. Following this, doctors tried to steer Ashley towards repeat caesarean. It was her caseload midwife who supported her desire to achieve a natural birth. And at 39 weeks, she successfully delivered her second baby via VBAC. That birth left Ashley on cloud nine. And when she fell pregnant again, she assumed she'd have a similar experience with baby number three. But that wasn't what happened in Ashley's third birth. Doctors discovered a rare complication known as Bandel's ring, which causes the uterus to band across the upper and lower segments. Now, the cause of Bandel's ring is not clear, and literature so far has suggested that it's extremely rare, occurring in one of every 5,000 births. We'll pop some information in show notes for those interested to find out more. Ashley's story isn't your usual VBAC birth story. It's about confronting birth trauma and how quickly things can change when factors are out of your control. It's mainly about Ashley's strength and her ongoing positivity that helped her in the face of an unprecedented birth outcome. We're very grateful to Ashley for sharing her story, and we hope you enjoy this episode.
Hi, Ashley. Thanks so much for joining us on the show today. Could you please start by telling us a little bit about yourself?
Hi, girls. I'm Ashley. I'm married to Jonathan, and we have three beautiful children, Billy, Oliver, and Adelaide. And yeah, we live in Western Sydney. Yeah, I'm a stay-at-home mum at the moment. Adelaide's just turned one, so I'm still living that fun isolation life with three little people.
Before you fell pregnant with Billy, did you have any, what were the ideas that you had around childbirth prior to falling pregnant?
I didn't really think about it, to be honest. And falling pregnant with Billy was a little bit of a surprise because I had a really irregular cycle and I could go months without a cycle. It was just the way my body did it. So yeah, he was a bit of a fun little surprise. Like, we wanted to have a baby, but I just, yeah, that was the way it worked out. But yeah, so I had no really like strong opinions or ideas about it. I just thought you had a baby and you pushed it out and that was it. And babies would sleep and eat and do everything you told them to do.
Cool. Do you want to get started with Billy's pregnancy and how you came to meet him? Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
So I fell pregnant with Billy and I was really sick. I was sick from the start to the end. I vomited nearly every day. So it was a bit of a funny experience. I was so excited and first baby, but yeah, just so sick.
Did you have hyperemesis gravidarum? Is that what they call it?
Yeah, I did. Okay. But only with my first birth. So that's a bonus. It wasn't the greatest time. But yeah, I found out I was having a boy and that kind of pushed me through because yeah, I was really excited to meet him. So that was our first pregnancy.
Did you have any issues during that pregnancy other than the hyperemesis?
No, yeah. Everything else was fine. I had a brilliant caseload midwife who I now consider family. She was amazing. She kind of just helped me through every step because I think with your first, you have no real idea what's going on. And when you're so sick, it can be a little bit scary. So she was always on the phone to answer my questions or come and see me, or I met her in the hospital a few times to go on a drip or get things because I was so sick. And it made it a lot easier to go through with Julie there.
Do you want to take us now to the end of your pregnancy with Billy and what happened there?
So I got a vomiting bug, funnily enough. After all those months of vomiting, I just kept continuing. It went through my husband's family. So I was just the next person in line, and I rang Julie and said, oh, really, really, really sick. I think this time I've actually got gastro. She said, okay, come in. We'll give you some fluids, see how you're going. I was 4 weeks early, so I was 36 weeks pregnant. So I met another lady, Fiona, there. And she checked me over and said, oh, actually, you're in labor. Like, oh, okay, here we go. It's a dream having a baby. So, yeah, we started late. I was in labor having contractions and doing things, but they noticed that Billy's heart rate was going really high and then dropping really low. So he was in quite a bit of distress and they weren't sure why. So they prepped us for a Caesar. And when they first told me I was having a Caesar, my heart sank because I'd never had surgery. I was, before having Billy, the only thing I said was, I just don't want a cesarean. And then I was faced with, oh, you're having one. So I had a little bit of a cry about that, but thought, you know what? It's fine. This hurts right now. So if it's going to stop, it's okay.
How long were you laboring for, Ashley?
Only 2 hours. When they eventually, Julie came in and she tried to help me do it naturally because that's something I really wanted, but it wasn't working. So she helped me and got me through into theatre and I had Billy, and they said when they opened me up, it was just a mess in there. My placenta had ruptured potentially due to this vomiting bug. I was so violently ill that it had detached it from the wall and was a bit of a mess. So I wasn't doing too great inside. And Billy was still 4 weeks early, so he came out not breathing. Yeah, but all of this, I was oblivious to all of this. He was born and it was great. He came straight to me after they'd fixed him up. Yeah, we went home the next day, which was amazing. It was Christmas Eve, so it was a really great Christmas gift. But yeah, I had no idea of all of the complications until later.
You had a debriefing, I suppose, afterwards with Julie and...
Yeah. And that's where she kind of explained what was going on. And I think it hit me a little bit more after that, the severity of what had happened. Julie just made it feel so calm and like everything was fine. Everything was under control. Yeah. And even the anaesthetist was talking to me and, you know, making me laugh. They knew how I'd never had surgery and I was scared and they made me feel okay. So yeah, it was afterwards when they said, well, this is actually what was going on. Are you okay? And Jono and I were like, oh yeah, we're fine. Like, it's okay. Mm. Yeah, actually at the time, Julie was like, it was a little bit scary. They hit the panic button and all the NICU team came up and they had all these doctors there ready for Billy and ready for me and yeah. A little bit wild.
And physically, how were you at the time when you were in theatre? How were you feeling?
I was a bit of a mess going in because you can't have someone with you. Like Jonathan couldn't be with me when I was getting the needle in the back. And yeah, it was just really, it was a little bit daunting. But I was in so much pain. And because my body was trying to push Billy out really quickly because of the issue, I was getting contractions back to back with no real break in between, like just tiny, tiny breaks, which is not normal. So I was just like, get the needle in and get him out. But yeah, I was feeling a bit, but I had Julie there. She was holding my legs and keeping me calm. And I really feel like she pulled me through those moments where I was struggling. He was 2.6 kilos, so like an okay size. And yeah, he came straight to me, was on the ward with me overnight. Yeah, no problems.
Oh yeah, of course. You did say that you had gone home the next day. Yes.
Yeah, the next day. So he was born on the 23rd of December and then we went home.
The placenta had ruptured. Did you have any kind of bleeding as a result of that?
No, nothing. Didn't even know. I think it had ruptured when I was actually in hospital. And it wasn't a full rupture. It was just starting to go. So bits were ruptured, but it was in two parts, I think.
What did they tell you after the birth in terms of could you have a VBAC later on, or what recommendations did they give you for future pregnancies?
I felt like when it came time for us to kind of think about it, all the advice given was to have another cesarean. It was the safest option. I remember talking to a doctor and they were like, these are statistics and this is the safe option for you. And I just remember thinking, I don't want to do it again, especially with another baby to look after. Billy was only going to be 2 years and 3 months, I think, but the time the next baby was born. And I just thought, I don't know how you look after another child with such a, you know, with a wound and yeah, a toddler at that was energetic and wanting to climb on me all the time. So I just really didn't want another surgery.
And was this before you fell pregnant? I guess because
yeah.
you were got onto caseload again when you did find out you were pregnant with Oliver.
Yep.
And what happened there? Did you talk to Julie about how you were feeling?
I messaged Julie. Julie found out. She was one of the first to know every time I had got pregnant. I messaged her and said, I'm pregnant. What do we do from here? And she straight away booked me in, and then it was all fine. And then she contacted me and said, so how are you feeling? You know, what do you want to do? And I said, I want to have a natural birth. And she said, yep, and you can do it. And that's all. She was like, yep, your body can do this. Let's do it.
That's really great that you had that support from her. It sounded like it was a really supportive relationship.
Yes. I feel like it was stacked up against us to do it by other people, but with Julie, she was like, there's no reason. Your body can do labor. You just had something happen and, you know, hopefully you don't get a gastro bug this time. I felt supported.
Great. And you said you also felt supported by your network as well, or meaning family members were supportive of your decision to go for a VBAC?
Yeah. My husband was amazing the whole way through. Jonathan just basically said, you do whatever you want to do and I'll be there right behind you. So if you want to have another cesarean, that's fine. If you don't, that's also fine. So that was really good to know. He wasn't pushing me anyway. And my family were great. His family were great. It was, really supportive.
And did you do any different preparation during this pregnancy?
I did nothing different. I just carried on. I think because with Billy, I'd prepared myself for a natural birth. Like I, you know, put all the things in place to, even in my mind, mentally prepared myself for a natural birth. So I just attacked it the same way with number two and thought, you know what, if it pans out that I have to have another cesarean like Billy, then it's fine. I've done it before. I can do it again. But I'd hoped for a VBAC.
Were you ever worried about uterine rupture? Was that anything, was that on your mind during your pregnancy at all?
I did think about it only because I just knew that I had a scar there and I thought, oh, that's not great. But I feel like Julie had really calmed me. She said, you know, in labor, I will be monitoring you. You'll have a little monitor on. We'll be checking baby. We'll be checking you. She said, there'll be no point where I'm not there right beside you. Yeah, I felt like even if something did happen, she'd be on it and I'd be fine.
It sounds to me as though your experience with the hospital and with the staff and the support that you had around you was quite good. I mean, would you agree with that? Or
yeah, I do agree. Yeah,
there was nothing that you felt was sort of missing there, I guess.
No, I definitely think that the caseload program was amazing. I can't fault it. I had appointments at home. It was just during the when I had to have counseling sessions, like with a doctor. They call it counseling, but they just talk to you about your next birth if you've had a cesarean. And I really felt like they were like, oh, just have a cesarean. Why would you, you know, it's safer. It's, you know, it's this, that and the other, listed off a billion things. It made me feel like that was the only point that I thought, oh, they're a bit pushy for cesarean.
Do you want to get started with how you came to meet Oliver?
Oh, this is my favorite story. He just turned three last week and I feel like I think about his birth all the time, not just on his birthday, but it's just something that I love, 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 love. He was the only baby I've had that's gone full term. So he was 39 weeks when he was born and I'd been getting the pre-labor thing before he was born, which wasn't so fun, but fine. And my waters broke at midnight at home. And so I got my dad to come and pick Billy up and Jono and I went off to the hospital, but labor hadn't started. So this was really fun. I was feeling great. Yeah, we got to the hospital. My biggest concern was not having a name picked out for him. I don't have a name.
Hard with boys' names. It's really hard.
The second time as well. How will I think of another name? Anyway, that was my huge concern. And yeah, we walked in, still labor hadn't started. So they hooked me up to a drip because I'd tested positive to the GBS.
Yes.
So okay. This time, so hooked me up to that. I wasn't induced. They just gave me the drip for
the antibiotics.
Yeah. And then I just went into labor.
You went into labor spontaneously. Yeah.
How long after your borders broke did you start feeling contractions?
2 hours. When I actually went into labor with Oliver, a doctor came in and said, now we can hook you up to an epidural now so that, you know, if you decide to have a cesarean, which you probably should, you know, it's easier. And I just remember looking at Julie and Jonathan and thinking, is she crazy? I'm not having another one. Anyway, Julie.
What happened there?
Very lucky that you had Julie there.
Yeah. Julie, did she say anything?
She just let the doctor say her piece and then she went outside and had a word to the doctor. So I'm not sure what she said. The doctor never mentioned cesarean again.
Just seeing that sort of their default position in a way. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just, it means safe, safe baby, safe mum.
Yeah.
Quick in and out. But for me, that wasn't what I wanted. Yeah, I was very grateful for Julie being my advocate. I have a great advocate in Jonathan, but he has no medical authority, so it was really good to have Julie. And then labour started at about 2 o'clock in the morning. I went through labour, had a great time. Yeah. And then they got really strong and I asked for the epidural, because that's what you do, isn't it? And the only problem I had with this birth was they came to give me the epidural. I waited for ages for it to come and they came and they gave it to me and it didn't work. Oh, we'll try again. So he popped it in another spot and tried again and it didn't work. And they tried 5 times. The third attempt, the head anaesthetist came in and attempted and it didn't work. So anyway, no epidural for me. Bit of back pain later, but no, they didn't.
So were you experiencing pain at the time that they kept trying?
Yes, it was so painful. And because they're like, you have to be really still, don't move. You know, it wasn't very fun. Yeah. Funnily enough, I still kind of loved it because I was like, I'm doing this.
I'm doing it all on my own without the epidural.
Yeah.
How far dilated? Did they tell you how far dilated you were when you were getting the epidural? Like, did you have an idea in your head of how far along we were?
I think I was over halfway, 5 or 6 centimetres.
So how much longer after? So the attempts at the epidural didn't work. Yep. You have a little shift in your mindset going, oh, I have to do this now. There's no backing out.
So I had some gas and that seemed to do the trick for me. All three of my births, I found the gas helpful. So I had that and that got me through. And 5 hours after labor started, I was holding Oliver in my arms. I remember the pushing stage. It was about half an hour. And I just remember feeling so empowered and so happy. Julie was saying, okay, take a break now. And I was like, no, I want to keep going. This is great, you know.
Wow.
In my head it was great at the time. I did tell my husband I never wanted to do it again. But I just felt so good doing it. Yeah, it was really good. And then he came out and it was the most amazing experience of my life, I think. Yeah, when you finally do that final push and you have that baby there and you've just done this massive thing, it's just the hormones and everything, you just feel amazing. And I think having a cesarean beforehand and you don't really feel that rush afterwards, you just kind of get a baby and, yeah, it's just a different experience. And I just felt like I was in this bubble and I was just so happy. It was great. Loved meeting Oliver.
How did it really compare to the feelings you had after your first birth?
When you have a baby, like people tell you, it is the best thing ever and so exciting. And so you just, the hormone rush. But I didn't quite get that with Billy straight away. Like I was excited to meet him and it was great. And I thought I'd had that experience. And then I had Oliver and I thought, oh no, didn't have it with Billy. I've had it now. I don't know why. It felt so different, maybe. I don't know. I just felt so good about the birth that it just, everything combined, I just thought, oh, nothing can top this feeling. This is the best.
Do you want to take us now to Adelaide? And did you know before falling pregnant with her that you'd like to go for another VBAC, or was she a bit of a surprise, or what sort of happened there?
Yeah, we definitely knew we wanted three children. I hadn't got a cycle back after Oliver yet because I breastfed him, and so she was another yay, someone else is coming to join us, because yeah, I didn't realize. So I found out I was pregnant and did the usual text Julie, I'm pregnant, put me on Facebook. And yeah, it wasn't even really spoken about. Like it wasn't a conversation we had, like, do you want to have a cesarean or another VBAC, like another, yeah, natural birth. And yeah, wasn't talked about. It was just assumed, like, this is what we're doing. I can do this. Why would I have a cesarean again?
You mentioned there your breastfeeding journey with Oliver. Mm-hmm. Was that different to Billy, or was there any difference there between both?
Feeding Billy, I think feeding your first is always a little bit challenging, but Billy was great. It took longer for my milk to come in. Having a cesarean, it takes a little bit longer. I think it took 5 or 6 days for it to come in properly with Billy, whereas Oliver, I think it was day two, which was amazing. Yeah, so I guess the normal problems that you kind of might face with a first, like the latching and the holding and the, I don't really know what I'm doing with you, but we'll figure it out. And both my boys had a tongue tie, so they both got fixed.
How was your pregnancy with Adelaide? Did you approach it the same way you did with your previous two pregnancies, or did you do anything different this time?
Jonathan and I did calm birth, a calm birth course prior to Billy, and they give you a little USB with all of the stuff on it. So with each baby, I did listen to that, you know, in preparation, I guess. Mm-hmm. So I just had that ready for Adelaide for when she was born.
Mm-hmm. And did you find that that helped you at all with each birth, or did it offer different sort of things to take away for each? Or
yeah, I just found it was good to refresh. And the big thing for me was, I know it might sound silly, but just breathing and just calming myself down, because it's so easy to, you know, get caught up in the pain and whatever else, but just to stop and breathe and think, you know what, every contraction is getting me closer. That kind of got me through.
You mentioned that Oliver was the only baby you carried to full term.
Yeah.
How many weeks were you when things started to happen, I guess, with Adelaide? When did you go into spontaneous labour with her quite early?
I did. She was 5 weeks early, and I was dropping my kids off because I have now had two Christmas babies. It was just before Christmas, and I said to my dad, Dad, you're off. Can I drop the boys off to you so I can go Christmas shopping for the kids? Because it's really hard. Pregnant and two small children under, yeah, Billy was not quite four. Yeah, I just need to go on my own. So I'd mapped out my day. I'd written what shops I was going to and the quickest way to get around to each of them. And, yep, that was the plan, drop them off. And as I was driving to Dad's, they live about 3 minutes from our house, and I was feeling contractions, and I thought, oh, I'm pretty sure this is more than Braxton Hicks, but maybe not. I'm just going to keep going. So I kept driving. I was really determined to do this Christmas shopping, and I dropped the kids. I got to Mum and Dad's house. I couldn't even talk to Dad because I was mid-contraction. I was like, yeah, bye, kids, yep. Mm-hmm. And just sat there at the steering wheel. Anyway, they got out, off they went. Dad didn't think any different because the kids were all over him. And off I start driving, contraction, like breathing through everyone as I'm driving. And I thought, I don't think I can make it all the way. I think I'm going to have to stop. Anyway, it took me maybe 40 minutes to get back home, and it should have taken maybe 7 minutes. But I had to keep stopping because they were that intense. I was like, pretty sure this is labor. And Julie actually was overseas at the time, and I was in the care of another midwife, like her offsider. So I had Julie, but Julie had gone away for, I think it was two weeks. And so I had Karen, and she was amazing. But yeah, I thought, oh no, Julie's not here yet. it's okay, I've got Karen. I rang Karen and I said, I'm pretty sure I'm in like having contractions, but it's pretty early. Might be really strong Braxton Hicks. And she said, oh, like, do you feel okay? And we had a bit of a discussion and she said, oh, just come in and I'll check you over and make sure you're okay. And then you can head back to your Christmas shopping. Anyway, we got to the hospital and they just did a quick check and she was like, oh, you're nearly 5 centimetres dilated and you're in labour and yet we're having a baby today. And I just remember crying, not because I didn't want her to come or whatever. It was just
Christmas shopping.
And it meant that not one person had a Christmas present. I'd done all of Billy's birthday shopping earlier, so at least he had birthday presents for the 23rd. And this was the 19th of December. So, yeah, anyway, there we were having a baby on the 19th. And she'd been a bit small. I had a low Pap A level. And so they thought maybe that's why she was a bit smaller. So they'd talked about potentially inducing me around Christmas anyway. But, yeah, I was just a bit shocked that she was coming so soon.
And so from there, you'd called the hospital, they'd said to come in and you were 5 centimetres then when you arrived.
Yeah.
Take us back to what happened after that.
Yeah, so after that, we just went in to labour. I was just labouring, moved to a birthing suite and, yeah, off we went. I had no hospital bag, I had nothing. So I was frantically, Jonathan, can you just message my mum and send her to Kmart? Send her to Kmart to get all of the things. And she did. She went and she filled a bag with like this ridiculous list that I had written in my stages of labour. Like,
oh, wow.
Anyway, she went and she got filled a bag and that was great. It was a bit of fun. I asked Jonathan to go and get me some donuts and whatever from the cafe. So I was having a great time thinking, you know, I've done this before. This is so fun. I can't wait to have like an Oliver experience again. I loved it so much. I was really looking forward to it. Yeah, then things just kind of stopped. I got to about 8 or 9 centimetres. About that. And, yeah, nothing. It wasn't eventuating. My contractions started to slow and, yeah, just lost intensity. They weren't sure why. So they put I got a drip to give me a bit of an induction to keep it going. That didn't work either. And, it just slowed. So
how long had your contractions been going on at this point?
About 8 hours.
Okay. And then they just came to sort of, would you say, an abrupt halt or?
Yep. Just kind of stopped. And then there were long gaps in between and they were less intense than they were before, which was really strange because I'd gone so many hours with them being, you know, and I dilated a lot and things were happening. And then, yeah, all of a sudden, no. And then I had a bleed, quite a significant one. It just kept coming out and they said something is really wrong here. We need to have a cesarean. And I think at that point I just lost it. I just couldn't believe that it was happening again. At the same time, both Christmas babies early, and I just thought, I have to do this again. After a beautiful birth with Oliver, it was really, really hard to take, especially after I'd laboured for so, like, it felt like forever. Yeah, so I felt really disheartened straight away. So they turned up my gas and I had a bit of that and, yeah. Anyway, I lost a lot of blood and I started blacking in and out and it was really awful. And then I just didn't want to talk to anyone. I just switched off.
Were you very afraid at that point? I mean, I suppose, were you feeling in your mind, why has this bleed happened? Or was someone there explaining that to you?
Karen was there explaining things to me, talking to me, but I was really out of it. And I think I was losing, because I lost a lot of blood, I was also out of it a bit, but I did feel like I was actually going to die. I said to Jonathan, I'm feeling really funny. I don't feel great about this. I think something is really wrong with me. Look after our children, which sounds dramatic now, but when they actually performed the cesarean and I had Adelaide, there was actually a lot wrong inside, which had led to that point. Yeah. In the end, I feel very thankful for the cesarean because it saved mine and Adelaide's lives. But at the time, I just couldn't fathom what was going on.
So was Adelaide's heart rate showing signs of distress at the time that they called the cesarean?
She was fine. Okay. She was fine. I think it was more for me.
Yes.
With the blood loss. And when they did go in, I had developed the band around the uterus. And so it was a rupture of my uterus. My uterus was about to explode. It wasn't great. And Adelaide actually had two true knots in the cord. So if she had been born naturally, she would have been a stillborn. Wow. So I really feel like we were looked after.
Yeah, that's definitely a very scary thing to discover, but yeah. Very lucky that it was then taken to theatre.
Yeah,
yep. Care of in that way.
There's no way you could really know that was going on. But yeah, in the end, I think that's the thing that got me through having another cesarean. I thought, you know, if it had gone the other way, it would have been a very different outcome.
When you said band, Ashley, I've heard of bandel ring. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's just a thickening around the middle of the uterus, and it kind of restricts things on the inside. I can't even remember. I think maybe I've pushed it out of my mind a bit, but yeah, it's a thickening around the middle, and yeah, it restricts it.
Okay. Was it related to your uterine scar from the previous cesarean?
No, it can just happen in labor.
Yeah.
Just from a big labor or something, it can just happen. My scar was fine. Although when they did open me up, it was a longer surgery this time. After having a cesarean the first time, things move around a little bit. And because of the scarring, things attach themselves to there. So I think my bowel was like right near the scar. And so when they opened it up, they thought, oh, that shouldn't be there, and had to change where they couldn't cut. They cut the first layer in the same spot, but all the other layers were in different spots because they couldn't cut in the same spot now because things were there.
Oh, wow.
So it just took a longer time for surgery.
When Adelaide was born, was she okay, or was there any kind of effect to her when they brought her out?
Yeah, she was in the NICU for a few weeks, which was another crazy part of our journey. She came out and she wasn't really breathing properly. She's early, 5 weeks, so she was on a CPAP machine straight away, and I didn't even see her that day. It was about 9 o'clock at night, and yeah, I didn't even lay an eye on her. I just shut my eyes and shut off the world and said to Jonathan, if they have any questions, they can ask you.
Obviously, physically at this point, I mean, you're going through a lot, so you've experienced a significant blood loss. What are they'd taken Adelaide into NICU, and then what were they doing with you to assist you?
Yeah, so it took a longer time for me to be fixed up, obviously, with everything needing to be put back in the right spot. So I just remember laying there and they'd taken my baby and I didn't even care. I just thought, I don't even know what to do right now. So I think it was the blood loss that was making me feel even worse. And yeah, they whisked me up to my room after I'd done the recovery thing, and I remember I had my midwives there and they were, you know, trying to keep me happy and, you know, but I just didn't really want a bar of anything. So yeah, and then I went up there and that was that, and I didn't see her until the next day.
And what was that like when you met her?
Yeah, I was excited to meet her, but I was still feeling really awful. So they wheeled me down and I was still a bit, oh yeah, okay, I'm here. And then I saw her in her crib with all of her things attached, and I just thought, oh, it's my baby. It was lovely to see her and yeah, straight away, I just instantly fell in love with her. So I was probably in a better place to see her the next morning than I was the night before.
Was Jonathan by your side while this was happening, or had he gone with Adelaide?
I remember when I was having her, when they were performing the cesarean, I said to him, or before I'd had that, I said, you know, you need to go with her. You need to look after her, make sure she's fine. But then when I was having it and I was feeling so terrible and I actually thought something was really bad, my heart started doing this weird thing, and I've had an ongoing issue with that since. But I was like, I think I'm going to die. You need to stay with me. Don't leave me. And I just remember holding him. So he didn't go with her either. I made him stay with me. So he didn't go until I was out of recovery. And then he went to check she was okay. And
were you told anything about physically, apart from the blood loss, about what you might need, the faintness that you were describing and sort of all of that stuff? I just wonder if there was any medical discussion had with you following that.
Not right away, I think, because I'd shut off. I was not in any state to talk to anyone about anything. Jonathan says that he tells me, but I don't remember. In theatre, when they were, you know, stitching me up, they were like, okay, are you planning on having any more children? And Jonathan was like, are you serious? Not right now. Not right now. And they were like, okay, well, if you decide to, it'll be another cesarean and, you know, you actually can't do this again. Naturally, we don't want any more children. I think I've been cured of that now after that horrific ordeal. Yeah, he just said, yeah, I can't believe they were talking to us about that. So, yeah, I don't think they really talked to me about anything that night. But after that, they discussed it all with me. I think it was Karen, the midwife, and then Julie came in. She got home, I think, 2 days later and took over my care again. And she came to my house and came to the hospital for, I think, like 7 weeks after I'd had Adelaide. She was amazing.
Yeah. You're not just completely disconnected from the hospital. You still had that continuity of care for a little while.
Yeah, after. We extended it a bit longer because of the situation, I guess. And she organised some counselling for Jono and I. And, yeah, she was just really great. And when I had Adelaide at home, I was always really worried about her because she got down to 2 kilos. And she was really tiny, and I was just always worried. Like, I think because I nearly lost her, I could have lost her. She just became really precious. Oh, is she big enough? Is she gaining enough? It was just nice to have Julie there. She brought her scales every time and weighed her every few days and just put me at ease. And she helped me with feeding again and did all the things that she'd done previously with the other kids. And it was harder to feed. Obviously, a NICU baby is a lot harder to feed. They're so small and she wasn't attaching, and it was hard. So I had to bring my milk in with a pump and not my baby, which was hard. But, yeah, she helped me through every step of the way there.
When you said to us earlier that you were actually in this situation where you were fearing for your own mortality, in a sense, did that follow you home at all, or how did you work through those feelings for yourself?
Yeah, it was really hard. I've never been a person to feel like depressed or anything at all, but I actually feel like I had post-traumatic stress from it all. Yeah, it was really, really, really hard to come to terms with, A, having a birth that I didn't anticipate, especially after Oliver's, because it had been so easy and seamless and no tearing and no anything, just a lovely, quick, you know, and then I had that. So coming to terms with Adelaide's birth experience as a whole was hard. And then, coming to terms with the knots in her umbilical cord, like potentially losing her, was really horrific to me, and just knowing that it could have been very different, and myself thinking I could have just left a husband and 2 young boys here without their mum, like that was really hard for me to think about too. So I think it's an ongoing thing. I think last Christmas was really hard for me, just to deal with the emotions around her birthday. The birthday was not too bad. I think Christmas Day was hard because it brought back all of the memories of what I was doing the Christmas before. So yeah, I think it's something that will stick with me for a while. Even thinking about this interview, I thought, oh, how am I going to cope with Adelaide's story? Because yeah, it's something that still affects me and even Jonathan.
Yeah. Do you think that men deal with birth trauma or with the result of that? Do you think they deal with it differently? Do you think that they need just as much support as we do in a way?
I definitely think they do. And I feel like for Jonathan as well, with Adelaide's birth in particular, he had to be the rock at home and the rock at the hospital. So he had to support me and Adelaide while we were there, but he also had to take care of the boys at home. So he was trying to be the strong person everywhere, which means he doesn't get to release as much. So it was really helpful for us to talk about it together. And he and I would just sit there and cry about it for a little bit. And it was just really good to just get it out together. But yeah, I really do think that, yeah, dads need just as much care after birth. Mums need it physically, but dads need a bit of mental support after a trauma. Mm-hmm. And he had to watch me go through all of that stuff. And yeah, I guess sitting there helplessly watching your wife go through something and then, you know, thinking you might lose two people that you love would be really hard to deal with. I'm proud of him.
Sounds like he's just amazing support for you.
Yeah.
Through it all, and you know, in a situation that's just so unprecedented, you know, you just wouldn't have expected that to happen.
No.
So I'm really glad that he was there for you and you had a good close network of support, you know, with your midwives as well, which it's really nice that
Special people, midwives.
Yeah, they are, aren't they?
Yeah. If I wasn't so scared of surgery and things, I would totally be a midwife.
You mentioned Julie gave you some counselling connections for counselling. Did you go through that? Is that something where you
hear? Yeah, I did. So Julie was there to talk to me. She is really great at debriefing. So I debriefed with her and Karen, and I felt really good about knowing the details of the birth. That kind of helped me process it. And then Julie gave me the connection for community counsellor connected to community health and the community nurse. So once Julie stopped coming, a community nurse started coming, and then the counselling came. So it was good.
And your physical recovery, Ashley, after the second cesarean,
yeah,
was it extra hard given what you had been through? And
yeah, I feel like it was slower than what it was with Billy. Billy, I bounced back quite quick, and I think that's because your first baby, your body is still, you know, held tightly together, and you know, I was quite fit, so it was quite easy to bounce back. I got a great pair of recovery shorts, and you know, I think a week after having him I was vacuuming my house again, so it was great. But with Adelaide, it was, I think a bit more was done inside, and it just felt a bit more tender maybe. And yeah, the blood loss after Adelaide took me a while to feel a bit more normal again.
And Ashley, did the doctor or Julie give you a reason for what had happened? Like, is there a term for what happened to you in Adelaide's birth? Is there?
There's no real reason. No. The band that formed was just something that formed in labour for me. I went into labour early and not really sure why. There's no real reason why. I did have a low Pap A level with her, which is a hormone that your placenta produces, so that could have contributed to her being small. But yeah, it just happened. I guess with a birth with knots in cords, if the longer they go, the easier they can tighten inside. So I guess I'm feeling like post birth, counting all the positives, that having her 5 weeks early was great for ensuring that she was alive.
Yes.
Basically. So yeah, that's one of the positives. I just have to take that away.
It was definitely fortuitous and very, very lucky in the sense, as traumatic as it was for you,
yeah,
it was sort of taken into theatre and taken care of. And there are many medical situations where cesareans are absolutely necessary.
Yep.
In that sense, and that certainly sounds like that was one of those.
This was one of them.
Which was out of your control and out of your power. So I think you were definitely being looked after.
Donna and I, we just keep saying God was looking after us and it had to happen this way because, yeah, it couldn't have happened any other way. Would have been a very different scenario. So, yeah, I am thankful for cesareans but for, you know, the medical reasons. But, yeah, there's nothing quite like a good old natural birth, is there?
I think so. I just wanted to say thank you so much for sharing it with us. I think you've experienced sort of three vastly different births and I think it's important for people to hear, you know, the range of emotions that goes on and the circumstances that can come into play that mean it doesn't always matter what you do. Sometimes these things are taken out of your control.
Thank you, Ashley. Yeah, we really appreciate you coming on and sharing your experience with us and our listeners.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this VBAC story. If you like the show, please subscribe and feel free to leave a review. If you would like to connect with us on social media, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook. Just search for VBAC Birth Stories. If you have a question or you'd like to express interest in sharing your personal story, email us at vbacbirthstories@gmail.com. VBAC Birth Stories is a podcast where we share women's lived experiences. Please be advised that it's not intended to replace medical advice. If you have any concerns at all during your pregnancy, please always speak to your healthcare provider.